Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and of course today we're going to be catching up on the latest on Twitter, but we do have really exciting Tesla news. We've got a credit rating upgrade by S&P. We've also got a lot of new information out of Giga Berlin. I've got an announcement of my own to make, excited for that, and then a couple other items as well. Before we even get into the stock, I'll just start off with that announcement. It should be pretty quick. I have decided to begin the formation of a group interested in pursuing investment in Musk-related and or other private enterprises. Usually that ends up restricting things to accredited investors or qualified purchasers. That's probably going to be the case here as well. I'll definitely have a lot more to share on this in the future, but for now, I'm going to be opening up a contact form for those investors that might be interested in similar pursuits. For expediency's sake, this contact form is probably only going to be open for a few days here. It may reopen again in the future, but for now, you can find the link for that in the description below, and please feel free to share that with others in your network that may have similar interests. All right, moving into Tesla stock, actually a surprisingly stable day today, I would say, for Tesla, down 1.1%, closing at 238.13. The NASDAQ, though, down 0.7%. And pretty interestingly today, we'll save most of the Twitter discussion for the end, but Twitter stock down 3.7% today, below $50 a share, now about a 9% discount to that $54.20 suggested merger price. So we're continuing to see a little bit less certainty in the market that this deal does happen at that price. We haven't had as much opportunity this week to talk about macro-related things as we might usually with everything that's been going on, but this morning we did have the jobless claims report that did come in a little bit heavier than expectation at just below 220,000 initial claims. This is, of course, a report that the Fed is going to be watching too, their dual mandate, keep inflation in check, keep unemployment in check. So if jobs reports start to indicate that maybe employment figures are worsening, that could be a sign for the Fed to be a little bit less aggressively restrictive with their policy. Now, this is just one report. It's reported weekly. The number is not like insanely high or anything, lower than what we had seen earlier this year, but worth mentioning because, as you can see on the graph, maybe a sign of an inflection point. Then quickly looking ahead to next week, those will be the big ones when we get the producer price index or PPI on Wednesday, and then the CPI or consumer price index on Thursday. All right, getting into the Tesla news then, exciting update today from S&P. They have upgraded Tesla's credit rating to BBB from BB+. If we break out our chart again, we can see that that moves Tesla from the highest level of non-investment grade rating into the investment grade category. So this is exciting because, as we've talked about before, some investors may just completely filter out investing in companies that are not investment grade rated. For many companies, that credit rating is important from a debt perspective. It allows them to perhaps raise debt at lower interest rates, better terms. For Tesla, really not all that important in that regard because Tesla, right now at least, not carrying hardly any debt. So maybe that changes in the future, but for Tesla, the most interesting angle to this right now is that investor access and just allowing more investors to pass through their filters that they may have as organizations to allow for investing in Tesla stock. Now, we do not have an upgrade from Moody's yet, so we've got a split rating right now. Funds that have filters like that may still be filtering out because of Moody's rating. I would imagine that we'll see an upgrade on that probably shortly after Q3 earnings from Moody's, despite their comments about looking for more breadth across Tesla's model lineup. So even though it doesn't seem like we're seeing a huge reaction to this in the stock today, we have to consider that split rating. And then we also have to consider this is a very different circumstance than something like the S&P 500 inclusion, where you've got all these funds trying to track that index to the basis point. Like we had talked about at that time, those funds just had to invest at that closing price. Specifically, they couldn't even do it a few minutes early because they're trying to reduce their tracking error. So you had tens of billions of dollars of demand in shares happening all within, you know, that 5 minute closing cross. What we're talking about here with credit ratings, that was never going to be a situation like that. Here, we're just removing a filter from some funds. These funds are obviously not tracking something like the S&P 500, or they would already have Tesla and we wouldn't be talking about them. So there's not some urgency for these types of funds to just immediately pile in upon this news. It's just something that opens up the demand pool or the pool of buyers a little bit further, and over time that should help out the price a little bit, especially once Moody's conforms to S&P's rating. Right, so with that understanding, let's take a quick look at what S&P had to say about this upgrade. First of all, this is two notches up, and I think the last upgrade that we had from them was also two notches up. That kind of goes to show that sometimes it's just a matter of time. Like, they're not going to wildly swing these things around. It's just going to be a slow process in general. I think we're almost exactly a year out, maybe 11 or 10 months out from their last upgrade. Anyway, for this upgrade, their rationale is that Tesla's reported production and deliveries for the first 9 months of the year were higher than their expectations, and the ramp up in global capacity appears to be on track to meet strong demand for products into 2023. Quote, we now view Tesla's credit profile more favorably because it continues to demonstrate market leadership in electric vehicles with solid manufacturing efficiency that supports strong EBITDA margins and sustained positive free operating cash flow above our previously established upside triggers, end quote. on that free cash flow point, quite the adjustment in their expectations here. They now say in 2022 and 2023, we expect Tesla to sustain free operating cash flow to sales of over 10% compared to our prior upside trigger of 2%. You may remember me talking about this last time they had this credit rating upgrade because that 2% was such a low bar. Tesla had already been doing in the teens. So this 10% number shouldn't be any issue for Tesla to continue to hit. A couple of other things interesting in here. They do say that for 2023, they expect Tesla to sell 2 million units. They say that the pace of production growth and level of manufacturing efficiency in both Austin and Berlin have both exceeded their previous expectations. On liquidity, they say they expect Tesla to continue to maintain strong liquidity. No surprise there with $18 billion in cash and basically no debt and strong free cash flow. Yeah, that's a great liquidity position. They do note that to enhance their competitive position, Tesla will need to expand its range of products to contend with a substantially higher number of models from global automakers by the end of 2025. Finally, they say they could downgrade Tesla's credit rating if they adopt a more aggressive financial policy or cannot sustain solid free operating cash flow. They could increase the rating, basically if Tesla continues to look like they can keep growing like they have been. Anyway, while it might be overdue from S&P, still nice to see this, and now we'll wait for Moody's. All right, next we've got a lot of new information coming out of Giga Berlin. This has been recapped by Drive Tesla Canada. This information is all coming out of an all-employee meeting held by Giga Berlin's Works Council, basically covering where things are at and where things are going from here. So apparently at this meeting, it was discussed that Tesla is working on ways to accelerate things in the United States due to seemingly the Inflation Reduction Act and the changes alongside that. So it says as many as 50 employees will be sent to the United States from Giga Berlin to help with those acceleration efforts. It also says that Tesla will temporarily pause some battery production activities at Giga Berlin, but at this time, electrode production will be moving forward. That's expected to begin at the factory soon. They also say that there will be a focus on testing and calibrating 4680 production equipment, and that production of the 4680 cells at Giga Berlin is still expected to happen this year, as well as the accompanying production of a rear-wheel drive structural pack 4680 Model Y at Berlin. Apparently, once that cell production begins, Tesla is hoping to ramp up cell production enough to add a second shift in 2023. So good to have a little bit more clarity on that cell production roadmap. I think that tracks pretty closely with what people would be expecting at this point. And then also on production, apparently at the meeting, it was confirmed that the target for production rate for the end of the year does still remain at 5,000 vehicles per week. Finally, a couple of last details. Apparently the new colors that we've talked about a few times, they're close to being approved. No timeline yet on when they may enter production. And then local drive unit production, which of course thus far has been aided by Giga Shanghai, that has improved since starting in August and has ramped to more than 100 being produced each day. With Giga Berlin now hitting a couple thousand a week, maybe that's meeting 25% or so, but they're looking at a second shift for that drive unit production apparently as well. So a lot of good information there that'll help us understand what's going on at Giga Berlin over the next few months. Next, we've got some news breaking as I am recording here. Very exciting stuff. Elon announcing on Twitter that he's excited to announce the start of production of the Tesla semi-truck with deliveries to Pepsi on December 1st. In a follow-up tweet, Elon added 500-mile range and super fun to drive. I'm thrilled to hear this. This has been a long time coming, that unveil back in November 2017. So if deliveries are on December 1st, just over 5 years after the unveiling, a little bit later than what Tesla had originally hoped, but honestly, given the circumstances, everything that's happened since then, and some of the choices that Tesla has had to make, not too bad, I don't think. Especially exciting because I think this is our first real new auto product since the Model Y, which was really just a continuation, not to diminish anything here, but a continuation of the Model 3. We've had, of course, the Model S and Model X refreshes since then, plenty of updates to the Model 3 and the Model Y, again, not diminishing anything there, but it's going to be extremely exciting to add a new model to the lineup, or maybe even a new platform is a more correct way of saying that, for the first time since really 2017. It'll be really fun to watch this ramp, watch these start making deliveries for Pepsi. Tesla can get their feedback. I would imagine that they'll keep that confined to Pepsi for quite some time. I'm not expecting some super fast-paced ramp on the semi. And with it really being business to business for the time being, we're probably not going to get a whole lot of information on efficiency stats or things like that, like we enjoy seeing with consumer vehicles right away. But hopefully Tesla will be able to share some of that and talk a little bit more about how things are going with the semi now that we're in this stage. Next, we've got a couple of updates out of China. First, Kelvin Yang on Twitter reporting that Shanghai has made the decision to exclude plug-in hybrid electric vehicles from getting highly competitive license plates, which I believe for electric vehicles get to skip a long queue. They're also available for free. So a pretty big benefit for electric vehicles that plug-in hybrid EVs would be excluded from beginning January 1st. So probably not a huge deal, but another little incentive shift in favor of EVs. One other quick thing on China I just wanted to mention. I've seen some discussion over the last couple of days about the number of ships leaving from China early in the quarter. I think we've had 3 or 4 already, and that kind of outpaces what we've seen in the past. Just a reminder, Tesla did have all that inventory, so they've been preparing to export earlier. I think that's primarily the reason we're seeing that shift. And of course, then production has increased versus where production would have been at the start of Q3, which would have been pretty minimal. Since, remember, beginning of July, that's when we had those shutdowns for the production upgrade. So Tesla didn't have any production to be exporting at that point in time. So just wanted to remind of that context, since I've seen that a few different places. All right, last thing for today then, just a quick update on where we're at with Twitter today. Again, a lot of news that has developed throughout the day. This may change into the evening tonight, but we have learned a lot from court filings today. Here is one from Elon's side. It says that the debt financing parties have indicated that they are prepared to honor their commitments and are working in good faith with defendants on this transaction, and a closing is anticipated by approximately October 28th. So as best we can tell, that debt financing, as we expected, appears to be quite solid. Bloomberg today had an article discussing this too. They said that there are few, if any, ways that banks could get out of this, and they probably wouldn't want to anyway. Backing out would reflect poorly on them and harm their chances at securing future deals. So it seems like that debt financing is pretty locked in. Musk's side again in a filing says that, quote, "We have so advised Twitter, again to no avail. Not only has Twitter's baseless speculation been refuted by the banks themselves, any theoretical claims Twitter could concoct based on a potential financing failure that has not happened are unripe and unpled, making them well outside the scope of the trial set to begin in 11 days. Simply put, there are two possibilities at this stage. By far the most likely possibility is that the debt is funded, in which case the deal will close on or around October 28th. Shareholders would receive their payments far faster than would be possible if Twitter were to proceed to trial and win again on appeal, and only then proceed toward funding and closing. This process could take months. The other much less likely possibility is the debt is not funded and the deal does not close, in which case any potential claims Twitter may have will have just arisen based on brand new facts. Either way, a trial on October 17th based on the existing claims and the existing factual record is at best an utter futility for Twitter," end quote. So Elon's side basically saying, hey, we're now agreeing to those original terms. We've got an agreement, so stay the trial or put it on hold. Chancellor McCormick has issued her decision on that. She notes the points made on Musk's side and says that plaintiff Twitter opposes the motion on the basis that defendant's agreement will not ensure that the transaction closes fast enough, then notes that her decision is that this action is now stayed until 5 p.m. on October 28th to permit the parties to close on the transaction. If it is not closed by then, the parties are instructed to contact her and obtain a November 2022 trial date. So the trial is officially on hold. I suppose the ball now is in Twitter's court, and they need to decide if they're going to commence this agreement, which seems to come down to determining if Elon is trying to pull a fast one on them. So we'll see what happens tomorrow on this. The other interesting thing that we learned today is that Elon's lawyer did note that Twitter did offer Elon billions of dollars off the transaction price, but Elon refused because Twitter attempted to put certain self-serving conditions on that deal. I believe that happened in the negotiations over the last couple of weeks rather than following this most recent offer. All right, that is where we'll wrap it up for today. Again, don't forget to fill out that contact form if that's something that you're interested in. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, October 7th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.